Let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at just one verse this evening, Philippians 4 and 9. Another blessing I wanted to share. David's not here to give it. He's on his way back to camp tonight, but we got to talk to him briefly this afternoon. And when your children are in ministry like that, you always pray the Lord would use them. And he had an opportunity to be a junior counselor this week and had nine junior boys in his cabin. And he shared with us this afternoon he got to lead one of them to the Lord this week. And that's great. Praise the Lord. And he got to share two of them how they can know, have assurance of their salvation as well. And it's like, it's just neat to see the Lord using him in that capacity. And I'm just so thankful for where he's at and how the Lord's using him. So praise the Lord for that. Philippians chapter 9 this evening says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. We're just so grateful for your goodness to us, even though we are so undeserving. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your long-suffering, for your patience, for your mercy, your grace. We thank you that you are a holy God and that you are an example for us, and your word tells us how we should live because of who you are, and we are your children. Father, tonight as we look at this passage, help us to learn more about you. Help us to learn more about how we should live. Father, we just pray that you would be honored and glorified. I pray you give me the words to say tonight, the clarity of speech and thought that would portray your word clearly. We thank you for what you will teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the past 30 years, I've had the opportunity to be involved in several building projects as I was in construction. Many of those projects had a blueprint. As I looked at the blueprint, I could begin to visualize what needed to be done in order to accomplish that project, and I would begin to make a mental list in my mind of things and steps that need to be taken in order to complete that project. And many times as I discussed the project with coworkers, we'd look through the blueprint and we'd say, oh, what's that? Is there some special feature in this project? And it's like, well, we'd talk through it, try to figure out what we were going to do. Sometimes the only way to get through that is to just get after it and just start doing the work. And trust the Lord to help us through that project as we went. Many times I remember saying, you know, it's easy to draw something. It's another thing to build it. We ran into that often. But sometimes the only way you could figure out what needed to be done, you'd have to consult the architect and say, what in the world are you thinking? Sometimes when the architect wasn't available, we would have to just work our way through the project. But if I were to take a blueprint and I would sit down with the owner, I would discuss all the details of the project and get a down payment for the project, but never start the work, what's going to happen? Well, at the very least, I'm going to have a long list of legal battles to face. And my reputation as a reliable contractor would have been in question, and I would probably have been looking for a different line of work. Why? Because I was able to talk the talk. I would make it sound like I knew what I was doing, but until I actually went to work on the project, there would be no certainty of my understanding, my ability, or my credibility. Over the last several weeks, we've looked at several things that Paul here is challenging the believers in Philippi, the things they need to do, the way they need to live. And as we go through our Christian life, as we sit in church services like this, and we hear God's word and learn how we're supposed to live, we're faced with a challenge ourselves. What are we going to do with the things we hear and learn? What are we going to do with them? I want to review some of the things that Paul is teaching the believers in this letter. Go with me back to chapter 1. This is just kind of a review over some of the things we talked about over the last few weeks. We're getting to close to the end of the book of Philippians. Probably got maybe one more message left. But chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. How does that happen? How does our love abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment? Well, the more we know about the source of love, who is God, and the way that He loves, the more we will understand how we are to love, because we are His children, and we are supposed to follow our Father's example. Then it becomes necessary, when faced with the opportunity to demonstrate that love, to follow through based on what we know, not based on what we feel. You say, but I don't feel like loving that person today. That's not God's love. We didn't deserve His love any time. But God commendeth His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And a love that grows in judgment is a love that is discerning based on the holiness of God. We love what God loves. It's also based on the true value of things and people. You see, God values people's souls. He puts very little value on things. They're things that He uses as tools to help us do His work, but He's very little value on things. But people are very valuable. Yeah, there's a lot of different people. You know, there's a lot of different ones here tonight. I'm different than you, and you probably think I'm different in a lot of ways. That's fine. But we base our judgment on how God views people. So He says, I want you to abound in knowledge, abound in love and knowledge and all judgment. And then He says in verse 10, He says, that ye may approve things that are excellent. He says, when you're given a choice between what is good and what is best, Paul says, I want you to choose what's best. I want you to seek the highest character. I want you to seek the highest good that God would have for you. He says, approve things that are excellent. And He says that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That idea of sincere is the sense that if we claim to be a Christian, let's live like it. Let's show it. Let's be a Christian. And also not to cause someone to stumble by our wrong choices and not giving any occasion for the name of Christ to be blasphemed. You know, I was thinking about this as I was studying through again. You know, whether we realize it or not, I believe that the world has an idea of how Christians should be. I really do. I think that people, when they hear of a Christian, they have an idea in their mind, well, you should be, you know, because sometimes they say, well, do you go to church all the time? Well, do you do all this? Do you do this? I believe the world has a little bit of an idea of what a Christian should be. And so we ought not to give them any reason to think wrong about Christ and any reason to blaspheme the name of Christ. And so He says that we would be sincere without offense. Look at verse 20 of chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul says here, I want you to make Christ your main focus. I want you to make Christ the main point of your life. Paul had a fourfold purpose in that. He wanted to know as much of Christ as was possible to know. He wanted to imitate Christ. He wanted to make Christ known to as many as he could. And he wanted to enjoy Christ. How many of you, when you pick up the Word of God in the morning and you read, how many of you really enjoy that? You know, there's times where it seems like I'm not getting anything out of it. But you know what we need to do? Keep reading. Stay there. Stay in it. And sometimes we don't have an hour or two to read in the morning. Sometimes, but we got to get back in the Word the next day. We've got to keep reading. Enjoy Christ. Enjoy learning about Him. Enjoy learning who He is. Making Christ the main focus. And then he says over in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, which there is, if any comfort of love, yes, if any fellowship of the Spirit, yes, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that, he says here, be like-minded. Be unified around what is Christ. He says that would only happen as believers have the mind of Christ, that we are united, they're working together toward a common goal of exalting Christ. It involves setting aside our tendency to want what we want. He says in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. It ought not to be done because I want it to be done. It ought to be done because this is what would honor God. This is what God wants to be done. And then he says in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, it involves our view of others. It involves, or it means realizing that we are a channel of God's love to others. You know, I'm not a container with a lid on it when it comes to receiving God's love. Yes, I'm a recipient of God's love, but that doesn't mean I stick in a pocket and close up the pocket. I am a funnel that God uses to funnel that love to others. So we look at ourselves as a funnel, as a channel of God's love. We're like-minded in that way, and that we look for ways and unified to show God's love to others. And so Paul says, be like-minded. In chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul's saying here, shine as lights. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men. Why? They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're to shine as lights. What is that light? Well, John 1:8-9 tells us that Christ is the light that came into the world. John 14 says Christ is the Word. And so what is the light that we have to share with men? We have the Word of God. And that is our light that we can take and we can shine before others. And as the Word of God impacts my life, it becomes noticeable to others. And then I can take God's word and I can say, can I show you how it can impact your life too? And so we share God's word. That's the light that we have. And again, we're not the light. John said in John 1, he says, I'm not that light. I'm just sent to bear witness of the light. That's the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so we are not the light, but we're the ones that reflect the light to others, and we can shine as lights. God's word tells us everything we need to know about God. It tells us everything we need to know about man's sinful condition, about God's gift of salvation, and how we should live. So we shine as lights. And then we looked at chapter 3, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says here, press toward the mark. Keep striving. Keep trying to attain to the mark. What is the mark? To be conformed to the image of Christ. We read that in Romans 8:29. The goal of Christ, of Paul, was that I might be conformed to his image, because that's the work that God's trying to do in my life. He's trying to make me like Christ. He's trying to shape me and mold me so that I'm a true reflection of what Christ is. And there's two steps that he gave in trying to reach that goal. The first one is forgetting those things which are behind. I can't ride on past victories. I can't keep saying, well, 10 years ago this happened, and so I keep riding on that victory. What about happening today for the Lord? But I can't also be defeated by past failures and keep saying, well, I can't do it because I did that. Yeah, but God can still use us today. He can still shape us and sharpen us and mold us and make us what he wants us to be. So forgetting those things which are behind. But then he says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. We live our lives as Christ would live. We respond to others as Christ would respond. We honor our Heavenly Father as Christ would. We reflect the character of God in our lives, and we point others to Christ by our testimony. And Paul says, press toward the mark. Keep pressing. Keep going for it. Keep your eyes on the goal. Press toward the mark. And then last week we looked at fortifying the mind, chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We talked about four walls that we build around our mind. The wall of praise. What is praise? Praise is recognizing God for who he is and telling him so in a way that honors him. We take his word and say, God, thank you for, and we praise him for who he is. And then the wall of patience, controlling our spirit. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So we have patience, we have moderation. We decide to be patient. Some people say, well, God has to develop in me patience. He does, but we have to decide to be patient. We have to say, okay, God, I'm gonna respond rightly in this situation. And then the wall of prayer, realizing our complete dependence on God. And it doesn't depend on us. When God, yes, we have to be obedient, but we need to be dependent on God and completely dependent on him for everything that we need. And then finally, the wall of purity, or the wall of purity here we see in verse 8, provides us with a filter of things we run through, things that come into our mind. And everything that comes into our mind runs through that filter of true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and so on. And if it doesn't make it through the filter, it doesn't stay there. We got to cast it down. We've got to take it captive, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. We've got to get it out of there. We can't dwell on it. We can't allow it to have any place until we fortify our mind. So what is the hardest part of all these things? Doing it. It really is. It's the hardest part is doing it. Paul is challenging the believers not just let the things they have learned, received, and heard be head knowledge. He says they've got to be turned into shoe leather. We've got to be lived out. We've got to be walked out. We've got to use these. We've got to do these things. Live them in our daily lives. How is that possible? Only through the help of the Holy Spirit, and only as we make a conscious choice to obey God and obey his word. So we have to say, God, I'm going to obey. And then that day when he brings us into a situation where we have to make a choice, say, God, okay, I'm gonna give you first place in this choice. We do those things that we've learned in his word. If I were to explain to my child something that I wanted them to do, what is their responsibility? It's to obey. It's to do it. What if they don't do it? Well, then they're not obeying. So if I hear and understand how I'm supposed to live based on God's word, my responsibility is to do it. So every time I read God's word and he convicts my heart and he shows me something in his word and he teaches me, well, what's my responsibility? I'm supposed to do it. I'm responsible for it at that point. James describes it like a man who looks in a mirror in James chapter 1. Verse 22, he says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed. And so we get up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and we say, well, that can't be right. No, we don't say that. We get up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and we say, okay, I got to fix some things. Okay, so we take the time, and we fix the things that need to be taken care of. Why? Because we've seen the need. We just simply need to do something about the need. verse 25, the end of verse 25 is really a parallel to Philippians 4, 9. The last part of that verse says, this man, a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed. Back to Philippians 4, 9, look at the end of that verse. He says, those you heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. See a parallel there? This man should be blessed in his deed, the God of peace shall be with you. When God is with us and we know we're walking with him, is there not peace? Do we not realize we're blessed? Not necessarily material blessings, but we're blessed just for the fact that God is with us. God is his presence is there. We know his power is in our lives to deal with temptation. What a blessing to have that. What a peace that we have. But you know what? It definitely takes work to obey. It takes work. But the rewards of obedience are much better than the consequences for disobedience. Let me show you a couple of passages and talk about obedience, the importance of it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. You could ask Emily, she could probably quote this passage. She's learned it. We've got a Bible verse program that she's gone over and over and learned this passage. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Is obedience important? It is if we're going to stand. It is. In John 13:17, Jesus says, if you know these things, happy are you if you know them. Is that what he says? No, he says, happy are you if you do them. If you know those things, happy are you if you do them. In John 15:14, it says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. We have that fellowship with God when we're obedient to him. We walk with him. In James 5:17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Obedience is important. Back in Philippians 4:9, I want you to notice one little phrase that Paul uses in that verse, and that is the middle of that verse. He says, and seen in me. See, Paul was able to say to these Philippians, he says, follow my example. He says, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:16, says, be ye followers of me. In 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. And then in 1 Timothy 4:12, he tells Timothy, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. He says, Timothy, be an example of the believers. Yeah, there's a lot of you older than you. You're just a young man coming into the ministry, starting out as a pastor. He said, but Timothy, be an example to the believers. And you know, we are an example to someone. Dad would tell me that often. He says, you know what? You are an example to someone. Somebody's watching you. If you're just a teenager, little kids are watching you. If you're an old ager, the little ones are watching you. Someone's watching us. And we have a choice. Are we going to be a good example? Are we going to be a bad example? As we obey God's word, others will see our example, and God can use that to draw them to himself. And so I pray tonight that would be the desire of every one of us, that we would live our lives so we could say, as Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Father, we thank you again for your word, for the things that you teach us. And Father, tonight as we talked about the importance of doing what we know, the importance of obedience, The importance of being an example. Father, help us to live our lives in a way that honors you, that others will be drawn to you, that you would be glorified, that we would grow closer to you. Father, we just thank you for, again, your patience with us. Sometimes we have to be told these things over and over again. Sometimes we have to be corrected and brought back into line. But Father, we thank you that you choose to instruct us and teach us the things that we need to do. Help us to go from here encouraged that you will go with us. May we honor and glorify you as we go through this week. In Jesus' name, amen.